Acts chapter 15, resuming our study today in verse 22. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was some trouble in Jerusalem, and it was spreading to other churches, a church in Antioch. There were some false teachers, actually some Pharisees who had converted to Christ, which was a good thing, but you know, Pharisees were known for their strict adherence to the letter of the law and beyond, because they even had man-made rules. And as I said, they came to Christ, which was good, but then they started to spread false doctrine, saying that one had to receive Christ to be saved. It's true, but they also had to be circumcised, and you also had to keep the Old Testament Jewish law. And this caused quite a stir in the church in Antioch, and Paul went to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles to get the final word on the issue. And with that, let's pick it up in verse 18 of Acts chapter 15. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Therefore, my judgment is that we trouble not those among the Gentiles who are turned to God. In other words, they've turned to God. They've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which is the only way you can turn to God, by the way. You can't turn to the Father unless you receive the Son. He who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father either. That's what Jesus said. And the final verdict of the apostles was, look, let's not put a burden on these Gentiles who have come to Christ. That's good enough. And then it says in verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions to idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. In other words, you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. He alone did the work on the cross. You can't add anything to it, but be careful not to cause your Jewish brothers to stumble by just blatantly doing these things that were forbidden in the Old Testament. Just, it's not going to save you by abstaining from these things, but do them anyway out of love. You don't want your Jewish brothers who are used to legalism to stumble, or a potential Jewish Christian who was into the Old Testament law. Don't flaunt the fact that you can eat blood, okay? Eat things that are strangled. Don't flaunt that. I mean, it's true, but you may prevent, by doing that, you may prevent a Jew from coming to Christ. And there's a lot of Jews all over the world who will be taking the gospel, which is what 21 is about. For Moses from olden times hath in every city those who preach him, he being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders, together with the whole church, to send men chosen from their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters to accompany them in this manner. Here we go. This is the verdict. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Inasmuch as we have heard that certain ones who went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. The Jewish Christians who were stirring up trouble with their lies, running around telling Gentile Christians that they, in essence, had to become Jews if they were going to be saved. Jesus wasn't enough. You had to be a Jew and then receive Christ. They were spiritual renegades. They didn't get permission from the apostles to do that. In fact, what they were proclaiming was against the written word of God. And it was causing trouble. And whenever Christians pay attention to those who abandon sound biblical doctrine, the result will always be confusion or trouble of one sort or another. 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, and the us being the apostles, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul came to Jerusalem to get to the answer, get to the official answer to this doctrinal problem. And now the apostles are sending them back, but they're not sending them back alone. They're sending them back with witnesses to the verdict of the apostles. And that's what this is talking about. It says in verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. And that was important because it verified the apostles' decision. Judas and Silas, as we will see, as we saw in verse 26, they risked their lives for Jesus, which proves they were serious about Christ, very serious about Christ. I mean, they could be trusted. Our willingness to sacrifice for Jesus is what gives us spiritual credibility in the eyes of others. So they certainly were credible witnesses to the truthfulness of the apostolic doctrine. 27. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. And we're writing it down, and they'll tell you the same thing orally. So you're going to get it from both ends. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And here they are, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. Why? Because that would cause Jewish Christians to stumble, because they would never go to the meat market and buy meat that had been offered to idols. And from things strangled, that means the blood hasn't drained, and that was a very strict process involved in killing animals for food. The blood had to be drained. And from fornication, which is wrong in any case. And if you keep yourselves from these things, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So it is clear that both Jews and Gentiles are saved by Jesus Christ apart from the law. But it's also clear that we should stay away from anything that dishonors Jesus or may cause our fellow Christians to be offended in some way. 30. So when they were sent off, they went to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. And when they had read it, they rejoiced in its consolation. They rejoiced in its comfort. The Christians rejoiced because it was the truth. Truth always causes those who love righteousness and want to do the right thing to rejoice. Heresy was exposed and denounced, and that is a pleasant thing to those who love truth. 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and strengthened them. So they stayed in Antioch and preached the word of God. 33. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace by the brethren to return unto the apostles. So they were going to head back to Jerusalem. They had done their job. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to remain there still. And which is not surprising, because I think Paul and Silas connected right away. And in fact, Silas later joined Paul on his second missionary journey. You know, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring the right people together as they individually walk in obedience to Christ. That's the key. 35. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And some days later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." You know, there are many, many things that can turn Christians away from the word of God. And so Paul wanted to return to the churches that he and Barnabas had established on that first missionary journey to make sure they were doing okay. And it seems like every time Paul left the church that he established, false teachers of one sort or another moved in and spread false doctrine. And that's still a very real danger today. 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. You remember John Mark. On their first missionary trip, it was Paul and Barnabas and young John Mark. Well, he quit. Mark quit, went back home. But Barnabas wants to give him another chance. Credit Barnabas for his patience, but credit Mark also for wanting to try again after failing Christ the first time. That's something to remember. Never quit on Jesus. And don't let failure stop you from trying again with Jesus. 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, as he had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in their work. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul and Barnabas had an honest disagreement. They saw things differently concerning John Mark. And the Bible doesn't condemn either one of them. God nowhere says that either one of them was wrong. They were just had a difference of opinion. Some Christians who love to micromanage other people's lives find it hard to believe that God would lead others to do something completely different than what they do, or maybe lead them to do a similar thing but in a different way. They find it hard to believe, but that's the way it is sometimes, and it should be accepted, as long as it doesn't contradict Holy Scripture, which is always the ultimate guide. 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and Barnabas went different directions, and God used them both. And you know what? Patience with Mark paid off, because he ended up being a strong Christian and the writer of the Gospel of Mark. So we see that everything has a way of working out if we listen to God and follow His leading. Now, it may not be somebody else's leading, but as long as it's God's leading, that's the important thing. Everything will be okay.